Good morning. Our passage this morning is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And as you're turning there, I just want to thank you for having me back again. Demopolis will always be the first place I ever preached. And you have tolerated me repeatedly. So thank you very much for having me back. And Happy New Year, too. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray together. Father, we are desperate to hear from you this morning. Would you please open our ears and our hearts and our minds? Would you speak and change us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. There's this simple experiment that was developed by a psychologist at Stanford in the 1970s called the marshmallow test, which measures a child's ability to delay gratification. The experiment uses a little treat, like a marshmallow, to see if a child will choose a small immediate reward or if they will wait for a bigger, delayed reward. And the gist of the experiment is this: an adult takes a marshmallow and sets it in front of a child, and they tell them, you can have this one marshmallow now, or if you wait, you can have two marshmallows later. And then the child is left alone with the one marshmallow sitting in front of them for 15 minutes. And then the child tries to wait. If they can't wait and they eat the one marshmallow, then that's it. The experiment is over. The child chose the immediate reward, the one that was right in front of them. But if they manage to resist eating the one marshmallow for 15 minutes, the adult returns and the child gets two marshmallows instead of one. Ooh. And that's the challenge. Will the child lay hold of the thing that is right in front of them? Or will they endure the agony of waiting 15 whole minutes to get an extra marshmallow that was promised to them if they would survive the test? Waiting is hard. We are in a season of waiting right now as we anticipate the new year, as we wait to see what this year will hold. And the dilemma of the marshmallow test for the child is it worth the wait? Is it worth waiting 15 minutes for two marshmallows instead of eating the one marshmallow that's right in front of me right now? And our passage in 1 Peter this morning also refers to a test. But it sounds a little more serious than the marshmallow test. Verses 6 and 7 say, "You have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Peter mentions this test again in chapter 4, verse 12, when he says, "Beloved, do not be surprised when the fiery trial comes upon you." So obviously, Peter is referring to something far more serious than a funny experiment involving children and treats. However, I think we can use the marshmallow test this morning as a framework for understanding the test that Peter is referring to in the passage we just read. What I mean is, the marshmallow test has four main components. It has the participants, it has the lesser immediate reward, it has the test of endurance, and then it has the greater delayed reward. And I think Peter presents us with a similar setup. The four components of participants, lesser immediate reward, test of endurance, and greater delayed reward are present here as well. So with those four components or categories in mind, let's work through the passage again and see if we can better understand what Peter is teaching us. So the participants. Verse 1, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Okay, the participants in this test are those who are elect exiles, those who are foreknown by God and call him Father, those sanctified by the Spirit, those covered by the blood of Jesus. The participants are those who have been born again and have hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the participants of this test are children of God. They are Christians. And it's important to note that because this means the passage isn't about everyone. Peter is not talking about trials and suffering in general that every human being goes through. He is specifically talking about a test that is for Christians. It's a test that's for you and for me. And it's a common test, apparently, because chapter 4 says, "Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you." This test should be so expected, so anticipated by Christians that they aren't even a little bit surprised when God asks them to participate. My brother was just summoned for jury duty, and he was surprised. He wasn't expecting it, and he had to scramble to try to make alternative arrangements for work and childcare. One of my children went to school recently, and he was surprised that he had an exam that day. He had no idea. But this test that Peter is talking about, this fiery trial, must not catch Christians by surprise. All children of God will participate, and only those who have been born again and who hope in the resurrection of Christ are children of God. So, we have our participants for the test. So let's next look at verses 3 and 4. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We're introduced to the greater delayed reward first, actually. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and a salvation that is guarded by God himself. This isn't the one marshmallow. This is the two marshmallows. That's a lot better than two marshmallows. An inheritance, a salvation. The fact that it's an inheritance, by the way, is another reminder that this test is only for God's children, because only children, heirs, receive an inheritance. My family just adopted a 2-year-old little girl, and when we adopted her, she became a co-heir of all of our earthly goods. She has an equal share in the family, an inheritance alongside our other children. And when you are born again to a living hope found only in Jesus Christ, you are promised an inheritance. And it's an amazing one. It is imperishable. It will never perish. It will never run out. It will never overdraft. The inheritance is undefiled. It will never become defiled. It will never crack. It will never fall apart. It will never spoil. And the inheritance is unfading. It will never fade away. It never shrinks. It never grows dim. It never lessens. It never needs polishing. Wow. Verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So, like the promised second marshmallow, this inheritance is not right in front of us. You can't see it right now. You don't get to have it right now. It is a delayed reward, but it is certainly a great reward. And it is guarded by God himself. So surely we can believe we will receive it. Well, we have the participants of our test, and we have the greater delayed reward. So what would the immediate lesser reward be? What's that one marshmallow? Well, a reward that is less than an invisible inheritance, that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, would be a reward that is visible, perishable, defiled, and fading. The immediate lesser reward would be anything else other than eternal life in God. And it's those things that are right in front of you. The immediate lesser reward is like the things mentioned later in 1 Peter chapter 4, sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry, and a flood of debauchery. The choice that Christians must make isn't like the choice between one marshmallow and two marshmallows. For the Christian, the two choices should be incomparable. Okay, I have a test for you. Right now, you can have money and power and sex. You can have fame and fortune. You can have health and wealth and prosperity. Or you can wait. And you can have an inheritance that will never perish and never fade. You can have eternal life. You can have salvation of your soul. You can withstand the wrath of God on the day of judgment by His grace and mercy in the Spirit, by the blood of Christ. You can stand in the presence of God who made you and loves you. And you can live forever in the kingdom of light. Those are your two choices. You can have the inheritance, or you can throw it away. If the child chooses the immediate lesser reward, he gets one marshmallow instead of two marshmallows. But if we choose the lesser reward, we get something that is perishing, defiled, and fading. We get something so dissatisfying that leaves us empty when it's gone, when it's damaged, when it's diminished, and we are left with nothing but darkness, emptiness, shame, guilt, fear, and condemnation. There were once two brothers named Esau and Jacob. Esau was the firstborn, which entitled him to a special blessing, a special inheritance, a birthright. And one day, the younger brother Jacob was cooking soup. And the older brother, Esau, came home from work, and he was exhausted and starving. So he asked Jacob for some soup. And Jacob says, "Sure, I'll give you some soup if you give me the right to your inheritance." And Esau agreed to the trade. Because he was so hungry, because he was so focused on his need for immediate relief, he exchanged his inheritance for one meal. He gave up his birthright for one bowl of soup. The choice wasn't between one bowl of soup or two bowls of soup later. It was between two things that shouldn't even be worth comparing. Two things that should not be interchangeable. It's not one versus two. It's eternal versus temporal. It's infinite versus finite. It's life versus death. Why then does anyone choose the lesser reward? What is so tempting about something so inferior? What is so tempting about something so inferior? Don't make the trade. We have our participants for the test, Christians. We have our greater delayed reward, the inheritance and salvation of God. And we have the lesser immediate reward, which are all the sinful pleasures this earth has to offer. So the final component we're looking for is a test of endurance. For the Stanford experiment, it was a 15-minute wait for the children. What is the test of endurance for Christians? Well, in terms of time, we have to wait until the end. We are awaiting the revelation of Jesus Christ and the day of judgment. It's not 15 minutes. It's a lifetime and beyond, and we wait for Christ to return and for heaven and earth to be made new. Waiting till the end is a long time to wait. But if the greater reward for the Christian is an inheritance that is eternal and infinite, what amount of finite time could ever make it not worth the wait? Infinity and eternity can never be outweighed by time, even a lifetime of waiting. However, the test of endurance for the Christian is far more than a test of time. Look at our passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 once more, starting in verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the test for Christians is a test of time, but it is also a test of adversity. The test will be grievous. The test will be fiery. Peter's audience for this letter are elect exiles, he calls them. They are literal exiles in the sense that they are spread abroad throughout Asia Minor, but they are also cultural exiles in that their new allegiance to Christ leaves them with a slew of new enemies who make them feel like second-class citizens or resident aliens. The child in the marshmallow test tries to sit and wait 15 minutes for two marshmallows, and as he's doing that, really his only enemy is himself. His only enemy is his own appetite, his own impatience, his own boredom. But on top of time and an internal war, what if there was also external, active oppression to the pursuit of two marshmallows? What if the child has to wait 15 minutes and be continually mocked for waiting, bullied? What if he has to wait, be mocked, and suffer pain? What if he has to wait and be mocked and suffer pain and experience exile and rejection from his family, from his friends, and from his culture because, oh, he set his hope and love on an invisible promise? Do you see, Christian? That is not what happens in the marshmallow test, but unfortunately, it is what happens to every legitimate child of God. When a person is reborn and adopted as a child of God and gains citizenship in the kingdom of light, that person is promised to be despised by the world. Do not be surprised when the fiery trial comes upon you. Rather, be surprised if you call yourself a Christian and the fiery trial does not come upon you. God's children will be mocked for their faith because their faith is in an invisible promise of an imperishable inheritance, of an eternal salvation bought by the blood of the Son of God who took on flesh as a baby, lived a life of perfect obedience, and died the death of a criminal more than 2,000 years ago. If you believe that, do not be surprised when you are exiled, when you are alienated, and when you no longer feel at home anywhere in this dark world. One final factor that I want to bring out in the marshmallow test is something the researchers discovered by implementing the test. Some children don't wait the 15 minutes for the second marshmallow and just go ahead and eat the first one, not because they were impatient or they're unable to delay gratification, but some children don't wait because they don't believe the second marshmallow will be given to them. They don't trust the parent to give it to them. The inheritance of God requires belief and trust. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. And even if you have been disappointed so many times in your life that you don't feel like you can trust any person ever again, and if you have tasted all the pleasures of life, if you have eaten that first marshmallow over and over again, and you are sick of it, if in life you have found no deep, lasting satisfaction, the gospel is for you. There is a day of judgment coming when anyone who continues to take the first marshmallow, when anyone who exchanges their inheritance for a bowl of soup, when anyone who chooses anything before God will be judged, and they will receive the thing they have chosen. And it is a horrible thing. That day is coming. But 2,000 years ago, God Himself took on flesh and lived a life of perfect obedience and died on the cross so that by faith and the sprinkling of His blood, you can be forgiven. By faith, you can be forgiven for the bad trade you have made. And the bad trade is undone. And we are given the right to become children of God and heirs of an inheritance that is imperishable. And we're given eternal life. Don't trade it for anything. Let's pray. Father, please forgive us. Please lead us not into the temptation of that thing right in front of us. God, give us the faith and endurance to survive the fiery trial. God, we want what You have to offer. We want that. Nothing else even compares. Forgive us for our fickle hearts. And thank You for the blood of Your Son, which has the power to undo the horrible exchange we have made. In the name of Jesus, amen.